Hello and welcome to Ed Talks, the podcast from King Edward School Birmingham and King Edward's High School for Girls, where I usually speak to old Edwardians who've gone on to have very successful careers in all sorts of different fields. But today is slightly different. My name is Ben Anderson. I left school in 2006 and I went into the UK radio industry, first of all as a producer and then a managing editor for three Capital FM radio stations. I now have a podcast production company called Sound Rebel, and I'm delighted to be joined by four current students of King Edward School and King Edward's High School, two from the boys' school, two from the girls' school. I'm joined by Louis, Alicia, Jimmy and Vedika. Guys, thank you ever so much for your time today.
Thank you for inviting us on.
Yeah.
So, you are all currently at school. Are you all just about to finish? Is it exam time at the moment?
So, I think the girls' school did a version of A-levels and then that finished in the end of May and now we're sort of going in for small activities here and there.
Yeah. And how did it go?
The exams,
yeah.
I try not to think about that.
So you are all current students, and I mean, can we start with you, Louis, actually?
Yes.
Louis, tell us a bit, because we're here today to talk about student calling, what that means, what you guys do, why you got into it, the kind of people that you speak to and all that kind of stuff. But I'd like to get to know you all first. So Louis, tell me a bit about you, not just the kind of academic stuff for what you do at school, but also the extracurricular stuff. What do you enjoy in your life outside of school?
Well, in terms of schooling, I'm sort of more of a humanities student, English, history, geography. Outside of that, I love sports. I love watching them. I love playing them. I play hockey at school. I also do athletics during the summer. And then I try and stick my teeth into whatever else I can do on the sporting side of school. Aside from that, in my spare time, especially during lockdown, I think I've got a greater appreciation for the outdoors. So I've enjoyed going on walks with my dog. I do the standard teenager stuff as well, though. A bit of gaming, a lot of Netflix. And that's the introduction.
Don't worry. It doesn't stop after you stop being a teenager. Throughout lockdown, I've been watching lots of Netflix and annoying my girlfriend very much because she keeps shouting upstairs, "Are you on FIFA again?" Anyway, let's go across the drive and talk to Vedika. Vedika, tell us a bit about you.
I joined KHS in the sixth form, and I essentially just tried to get stuck into as many things as I possibly could, which is how I started with the student caller thing as well. I used to do a lot of singing in choirs. Obviously, with COVID, unfortunately, that kind of dwindled down. A lot of cooking and baking. My A-levels that I did are geography, economics, and English literature. So I also really enjoy the humanities and I hope to do geography at university. And over lockdown, I got to spend a lot of time with my 8-year-old brother, who, because of the massive age difference, like we don't have maybe the usual sibling dynamic. So it was really nice to spend a lot of time with him before I go to uni. So yeah.
Lovely. Thank you ever so much. Jimmy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So I'm in year 13 as well, and academically I think I like the STEM subjects and the humanities, so I'm very passionate about economics, but maths, history, enjoy physics, I enjoy those as well. Extracurricular wise, I'm very keen on debating and kind of model United Nations, just having a good conversation, discussing some worldly issues, and I really do try and get stuck into as many things at school as well, just different societies. But I think outside of that, I like the outdoors as well, and I'm quite passionate about food and art. So like to go to museums on holidays and learn a bit more about different cultures.
Fantastic. A very succinct answer from someone who could only be in the debating society at King Edward School. Well delivered, Jimmy. Thank you. And finally, Alicia, tell me a bit
Hello?
About you.
So when I'm not in school, I'm either journaling or working, usually. So I'll take my journal, and a bit like Louis during lockdown, I'll just go around my area and you'll probably see me up in a tree writing something if you ever come to my neighbourhood. And when I'm not doing that, I work in a restaurant. So I just take orders, walk around, run around. And it's funny because last week someone had a very big order and they asked me to split it. So I also do maths and further maths A-level. So I was at the table thinking, okay, I can do this. Quick mental maths.
And did you nail it?
I nailed it. I really did. And it was like it was a really big bill. It was like £700-800. So I thought if I didn't nail it, it would have been an issue.
Either there were a lot of people at that table or whoever was there was really hungry.
There were four people.
Spent anywhere. 700 quid.
Yeah.
must be a swanky place.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the restaurant, though. I'd quickly like to ask you about the journaling, because this is something that I feel like didn't really... I mean, I'm a lot older than all of you. That wasn't really a thing when I was a teenager, but it feels like everywhere I look on Instagram at the moment, someone's journaling. What is that? Can you explain it to me?
It's very mindful. Like, during the first lockdown, I started yoga with my dad. I did meditation. And then to add to that, I did journaling. So it's like you write your thoughts, your feelings, like... everything about yourself. So really my journal is just like me in a book. And so it's just a thing to do like at the end of the day or when you go on your walk, just to like get everything down, make everything really tranquil in your mind.
Sounds lovely. Before we go into the student calling side of things, I'd like to talk about lockdown. You've mentioned walking with the dog, hanging out with your little brother, doing yoga. What was it like when it came to school and lockdown? How did that work? Was it all virtual lessons? Were you left to your own devices?
Well, I think it changed, obviously, depending on the severity of the lockdown. So right at the start, I'm not quite sure how the girls' school did it, but at Kes, we were online lessons, and we had a new timetable as well. So four periods a day instead of eight periods, but slightly longer periods. And it's just a mix of having lessons on Zoom with teachers and then some set work and then perhaps submitting things online via Google Classroom to kind of very quickly, really, we just adapted to the situation, had all these new programs thrown at us, and then just getting on with the curriculum as it would normally be.
Was that the same in the girls' school, Vedika?
Yeah. Online Zoom lessons and lots of Google Classroom submissions. I think it definitely differed between like humanities and STEM. For example, essay-based subjects, it was a lot easier to set independent work because we'd be doing that anyway. Whereas I think STEM students, especially with practicals and things like that, struggled a little bit.
I imagine, speaking of struggling, that you as students adapted to it quicker than the teachers did. And I'm not trying to say anything about the quality of teaching at Kingover School. Of course I'm not. I'm just, from my perspective, my girlfriend's got two children and they're younger kids, so they need more attention. They can't go off and do things on their own as much. It took, I just couldn't. First of all, you know, you suddenly realise I don't know how to do long division by hand and things like that. That's the first kind of shocking thing you realise. Then you just go, I can't get to grips with all this technology. Like, did you feel like the technology side you grasped quite quickly, but was your quality of learning affected to not be there in the class, would you say?
I think, I know personally, I am not very good at technology. So I think the teachers, by the end of the lockdowns, were much better than me. All I had to do was press a Zoom link and I couldn't make it still. and I think, so only in that way, like my incompetence was like my education. There were times where I thought like in person it would just be so much better. You could have debates. Whereas like on Zoom, oftentimes you'd be on mute. And just because there were so many people in the Zoom, and I think our education was affected in that way, but I know that teachers tried so hard to put us in breakout rooms and to do activities to really get us focused on our education.
Bro. And in terms of then when you went back to school, when you're allowed to go back in, obviously you kind of had all the social distancing and all that kind of stuff. Were you excited to go back in? Did you get used to being at home?
I was definitely excited to get back in. It was quite a new surrounding, even though we've been at that kind of campus for many years, the new one-way system and posters on the walls and hand sanitizers. It was quite novel to start with, but I just really enjoyed going back and seeing everyone and teachers. And I think it is kind of that spontaneity in discussions where if you're sitting in the same room, you can just look across the classroom and just have that kind of like connection, perhaps in a discussion, which is sort of missing on Zoom. But yeah, it was good to be back.
It was also a bit of a shock because you're at home alone for half a year and then you're thrown into a bubble of 100. And so I'm a bit of like a germaphobe. So I didn't know how I was going to cope on the first day. But for some reason, the like spraying anti-bac on the desks and doing all those health and safety stuff made me feel quite safe, which is good. But I wasn't expecting it.
I think kind of the whole COVID situation has become an accepted reality, really. everyone kind of appreciates the situation. I think that's probably widely the same for not just KES and KEHS, but society in general as well. Kind of, this is, for the most part, it's, this has happened, everyone's aware of it and gotten used to it almost. But I think, at KES, most people are definitely on the same wavelength, all there with the, happy to conform to all the regulations and all the policies very well. So, yeah, there is definitely unity on that front.
Honestly, so what do you want to do after, what are you studying at university, Jimmy?
Economics. I can study economics.
Economics, okay. Well, I very much hope to see you in that Chancellor's chair one day.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. We'll see.
Let's move on then to student calling. Jimmy, let's start with you then. So what is it, first of all? Who does it? Why are you doing it?
So the student caller role, it's done by students, as the name suggests. And it's basically, during the summer, a group of us gather together in the development office at KES and call old Edwardians trying to raise money for the assisted places scheme. And for me, the reason why I kind of wanted to do this is, first of all, I think that education is really important. And especially having gone through 7 years of such great education at KES, it's even, with all the opportunities that it provides, it's even more kind of important to me. I think especially having the opportunity for anyone to be able to access that, regardless of their background before, is I think is vital to society. And so really trying to help that process and give back is the main reason why I kind of signed up for this and went through the process. And I think personally, I really enjoy meeting new people as well. And I think it'd be really interesting to kind of have a chat with lots of different old Edwardians, especially some having similar experiences at school, but also going on into kind of the wider world. It'd be very interesting to speak to a lot of them.
Alicia, how much time do you have to give up to do this? Because summer, obviously, you've worked really hard all year. You've got the exams at the end of the year. Surely the summer's at the time you want to put your feet up, don't you?
No, well, it's sort of like a part-time job, but it's only for a couple of weeks. And I think I find that because it's so enjoyable, it didn't really seem like a job. Like, it just seemed like you were going into school for a couple of days. And because we're leaving school this year, I think it would be nice to go back. So we don't just, like, in like the 7th of July or whenever we leave, we just don't go and we never go back. And it's like an end of an era. We can go back for a couple of weeks. We can like talk to old Eds. And it's just, it's quite fun.
One of the things is just getting to know the people on your team. So last year, there was 10 of us, 5 girls and 5 boys. A lot of them I didn't know. Some of them were in the year above me. Some were in the girls' school that I hadn't met. And I think over the course of sort of 2.5-3 weeks, you become really good friends. You get to know each other. In terms of the actual job, what I found really engaging was just speaking to these old Edwardians. They're often very happy to talk about their careers, what they did after school, to give you advice, suggest sort of your next steps. And also one of the great things that they do is they give you old stories from their time at KES, so you do have a laugh with them. In that regard, I just think it was a very rewarding and enjoyable overall experience.
Vedika, what's the kind of response like when you call someone up? Are people generally responsive?
Yeah, I think a letter or some form of communication does go out a few weeks before, just to say, hey, do you want to call? If you don't, let us know. So thankfully, like, most people are expecting and happy to talk to you, especially if they've had calls in the past. But there were a few that were very much like, why are you calling me, hanging up in the middle of us trying to go through, like, oh, you know, my name is Vedika, I'm calling from the King Edward's Trust and stuff like that. But generally, one, like, I guess, key skill, really seeing people like ease up on the phone and then have like a wonderful conversation was, you can tell that moment kind of when someone's like, oh, okay, this might be an interesting conversation. That was really rewarding, actually. So it was nice, but there definitely were a few.
Well, hopefully when people hear this podcast, they'll realise that it's you lot behind the call, you know, because I think sometimes you can get so used to phone, your number ends up on a list somewhere and you get phoned by this person, that person. But actually, it's not just real people behind these phone calls. It's real students who are currently there or just leaving school. I mean, in terms of the role, you've all mentioned just, you know, how many different kinds of people you speak to. And there can't be actually that many people at King Edward's who have that kind of access to people. You guys speak to people from all different year groups and kind of one after the other. You end the call, start a new one, end the call, start a new one. And you could be jumping from someone who left in 1996 back to 1964 to 2009. Do you think, talking to the kind of wide range of people that you speak to, do you think there's a kind of King Edward's KHS mould?
My mum went to King Edward's, but she went to King Edward's Handsworth. And growing up, when I met her friends from school, there was definitely a King Edward's type. Just, it was even as simple as just the way they spoke, the way they moved, the way they held themselves. It seemed like I would know which of her friends she knew from school and which of her friends she did not. But on the calls, there was such a wide range of people. There were people who came just for like the first couple of years of KHS, people who came for just the sixth form. In that respect, on the phone, I couldn't see a trend necessarily, but I think if I met them in person and if I saw them, I'd be like, oh, there's definitely, I don't know, like social conditioning that happens at KHS that sort of means that that you could sort of spot the KHS student or the ex-KHS student.
I think given just talking to people in my year and across the 7 years of KHS that I've been, 7 years of school, I think there definitely is similarities because obviously these are the people who we're hanging out with on a daily basis and kind of talking to and speaking, listening to. And I think there is kind of like that kind of unifying spirit almost between us. But at the same time, everyone's got their own unique interests. Some people really like sport. Others might prefer have other things. But I think although we all have our individual personalities, at the end of the day, kind of KHS brings us all together and there's similarities in that.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about like the community, because even though like I'm very different to someone who left the school in 1970, they were talking about the school building and some of the teachers and some of like the traditions. There was like a sense of verisimilitude because I was like, oh, I've been through that exact same thing just so many years later. So maybe in that sense, we have similarities in that aspect. But I think a big thing about KHS is being yourself and like having your own personality, having your own thoughts, going against the status quo. So I think because of that, there is like a diversity of opinions, diversity of thoughts, but there's also something unifying, like Jimmy was saying. There's something like in the community where you can all come together and you say, like, we're part of this community, we're part of King Edward's, we sort of like work as one sometimes.
You know, that comes through in so many of these interviews that I do. It's a place that gives you the opportunity to be yourself. So as long as you work hard enough and you respect the people around you, then you can go and be who you want to be, do what you want to do. And I think that is definitely something, it almost gives a confidence, I think, being at a place like that that nurtures that side of everybody who comes through the doors. I mean, another thing that always comes through in these interviews, I did a brilliant interview. I'm not saying I did it, but he was a brilliant interviewee a few weeks ago. Bob, who... Robert, to give him his more formal name. He was an incredible career with the civil service. If you haven't listened to it, Jimmy in particular, you would love it. He joined the Home Office after leaving university, started off his career in Northern Ireland. He was the head of counterterrorism and intelligence at the Home Office through 9/11, the London attacks. Like this, he's had an incredible career. And he kept saying throughout the interview that the way that he behaved in some of these huge situations, you know, he was chairing Cobra meetings. He was a very big part of some very big decisions that affected millions of people. And he always, throughout the interview, kept coming back to how these values were instilled in him at King Edward School. I'd be interested to ask you, because when you're in something, you don't necessarily always evaluate it. You just kind of, you're there, you're living the experience. When you leave school, you can't help but look back on it and think kind of a bit more objectively about it, but obviously very fondly. Do you guys feel as if your values have been shaped by the school? Can you recognise that at the moment? Or do you think that's something you need to be able to take some space away and look back on it? Vedika, you look very pensive.
I was just thinking that's like quite an interesting question. I don't know, because I moved, I feel like I had this kind of adjustment period and almost like a different mode that I've gone into. And if I went back to my old school, I know that I would maybe go into a different mode. In terms of values, I don't know, it's tough. I mean, I've always found it almost a little bit ironic, or maybe that's not the right word, but it's a private school. And that's something that I'm, well, as probably most of us are, obviously aware of. But having said that, everyone's so politically aware of their privilege, and I think in many instances break the private school stereotype, which is really nice to see, because I wasn't at a private school before and I did kind of have my doubts. I don't know. In terms of values, I don't know if I could name any in particular, but definitely from what I've seen, I think many people will go on to break the stereotype of what people that typically go to private schools might have created. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the issue, the question of values is quite a good one, because I think, I definitely agree with Vedika. I think people at CARES KHS are very kind of down to earth. They're very aware of what's going on with society. But at the same time, I think a key value that's important to me that I think CARES has really kind of shaped and it's quite important is that one, I think, Ben, you mentioned earlier about hard work and how you've got all these opportunities, and as long as you kind of put in the effort, these are all attainable for you. So I think it's that kind of mindset of, if you put in the work, you will be able to achieve all these things that you've dreamed of. That's one of the values that I've found really important from CARES.
And I think this sort of links to private school as well. I think sometimes when you get into KHS, you go in and you know it's going to be hard work. But when you walk in, there's always a sense of hope that it might be 7 years of grueling work, but at the end of it, you can sort of achieve anything that you want. In a podcast a few weeks ago, there were sisters who came on and each of them had very different careers, but they were very high up in the careers they were in. And I think KHS does that. It gives you opportunities so you can choose what you want. After all the hard work, you can choose the career you really, really want because you have the opportunities.
And I also think that's why, just linking back to the Student Cooler campaign, I think that's why this is so good as a scheme to try and make both schools as meritocratic as possible. Because we've gone through the system and we recognise that the opportunities that are given at King Edward's should be available to as many people as possible. And it is quite a unique experience, and we're very fortunate to have had that experience. And if there is in some way we can give back and almost thank the school for and show our appreciation to the school for all the opportunities that we've had over the 7 years, this is one way that we can do that.
I think going back to values, I think because KHS is an all-girls school, and going into KHS in year seven, it was the first time being in that kind of environment. There's a lot of almost feminist values. I know that when I was 11 years old, I didn't know what it meant. It almost seemed a problematic word. And then I walked into an assembly and they started talking about feminism. Then I walked into a classroom and we started doing feminist literature. And then we did a podcast on feminism. Then I think in that way, that's how KHS instills values. And I know lower down in school, we used to have whole school assemblies, and they would sort of pick on one aspect of your character that you tried to improve for the week. And I know after one of these assemblies, it was when we started leaving the classroom, we'd say, thank you so much for teaching us today. And I think that is a big part of KHS, instilling determination, but also just thankfulness for the opportunities you get. And also women power.
Hi, I'm Salma.
And I'm Shweb.
We're student fundraisers talking to you about the Assisted Places Fund.
So, I suppose you're wondering, why should you donate to the Assisted Places Fund?
Essentially, we want to help give others the opportunities we were both fortunate enough to have and give them access to our wide-ranging curriculum and ambitious co-curricular programme.
Thank you for listening. And to give, visit the Old Edwardian website.
So, you are all about to go out into the world. How do you feel about leaving school? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you going to miss it?
I think I'm both excited and nervous. I'm excited for the new experiences I'm going to have. I think I'm going to leave KHS and like my horizons are going to be broadened. And I think I'll also get more freedom than in school, because sometimes in school you're treated a bit like a child because they're responsible for you. And I think I'm going to go a bit crazy for a little while during my gap year, but then mellow down. But I'm also a bit nervous because it's sort of been like my home for 7 years, because there's been times when like I've got to school at 7:30 in the morning and then left at 10:30 at night. And then there's been like months where KHS is my life. And like, even last week I had a problem. And so I just came to school just to have a chit chat with my teachers about it. And I think, especially in sixth form, a lot of the staff, they sort of like adopt a more friendlier role. So you can just go in, you go to lessons, see them at recess and lunch, and you can just talk about your life, their life, things, just big questions. And I'll just really miss that sense of community when I'm gone.
Yeah. So, Alyssa, Vedika, go for it.
You go for it. I have to say, I really did notice it's less like, there are teachers and it's very regimented and you go and you learn and then you go back home. It's so much more like almost a lifestyle, a community. Everyone's a little bit on the same wavelength. Teachers aren't completely just teachers. They're also, I don't think friends would be the right word, but definitely more than just someone that stands at the front of the class and teaches you a topic and then leaves. And I think we know that kind of dynamic we might not find anywhere else in the same way. So it's a bit bittersweet.
And I know, especially with our year, during year 7 to year 11, it was definitely up and down. We were a very problematic year, but I think because of all the problems we had, we sort of got closer. So if there was like a challenge or a difficulty, we may have had an argument in that moment, but a couple of months later, we could look back and laugh on it and say, that actually made us closer. And I don't think ever again in the future, you're going to be like forced into a space with 100 other girls going through puberty, going through all life's challenges as a teenager. And like, we'll just never get the chance to form all those close female friendships in the future. So I think I'll miss that as well. But I'm definitely sure we'll like stay in touch, because that's always the case with girls' schools. There'll be a group chat, there'll be a call. They'll be like, what are you doing Saturday? And then the next Saturday, do you want brunch?
I think I share sort of similar sentiments to those that have spoken before. I've loved my time at KHS. I've almost just loved the routine. It's almost such a shame that over the last sort of 2 years we've not been in school as much as we could have been, and we've missed some activities, some key things. I don't know, in the boys' school, things like the house shout haven't gone ahead this year. We missed last year's summer, which is sort of the football season on the South Field. In a similar way to everyone else, I'm really sad to be leaving, but I'm excited for the future and what that'll hold.
Well, I'd like to talk about that now then. So, I mean, Alyssa, you said you're going to go wild on your gap year. I've got to ask, what's next? Where are you going? What's the plan?
Well, funny you ask. This is what I was talking about when I said I went into school just to have a chit-chat with teachers. Last week, Tuesday, I spoke with the careers advisor about my two-year gap year, or my two-year sabbatical, as I'm telling my parents.
it definitely sounds swankier, a sabbatical, doesn't it?
It definitely does. And so during my first year, I'm planning on doing work placements and work experience, and then doing seasonal work jobs. So I definitely need to sort that out. So if anyone's listening, no, I'm joking.
Well, I mean, what kind of work experience are you looking for? Because there are people listening.
Well, I'm sort of focusing on law, but also charity work. So last week, I had an interview to join Amnesty International's like youth program, and I got in. So that's what I'm going to be doing. Thank you. So that's what I'm going to be doing like monthly for the next year. But I also sort of want to look more into charity work. So law and charity work are the things like I'm going to be focusing on next year. But to be honest, I do not have a clue what I want to do. So I'm very much open to anything.
You know what, in terms of law, I'm not sure if you've heard our episode from series one with Grace Gwynne, who was at one point the youngest barrister in the whole of the UK. She was a KHS girl. And it's a really interesting chat. She's very open, very honest. And she just talks about how, well, she ended up going to America, actually, to get her first job over in Connecticut, because she kept applying over here and it just wasn't working for her. So she went, right, I'm going to think completely outside the box. I'm going to go over there, came back, and now she's working in Birmingham, one of the best chambers, having the absolute time of her life. So if you haven't listened to that, I'd definitely say go and have a listen. Jimmy, straight to the Commons, or have you got plans first?
Well, yeah, probably university first. Obviously, there's lots of things that you can do after university as well. I'm still a bit unsure, but just still trying to explore as many opportunities, different types of work placements, and see what really appeals, and hopefully I'll find something.
For real. Verica?
So, yeah, the plan is geography at university, and then what I tell people when they say, what do you want to do? Obviously, I know everything's subject to change. Hopefully, go into some sort of, like, become a consultant for businesses to reform their practices to become more sustainable. Not only sort of more like environmentally friendly, but also sustainable in the sense that transnational corporations are known for just exploiting a lot of communities. And increasingly, it's becoming very obvious, and in terms of regulation and laws, that can't go on, and businesses are going to have to start picking it up. And hopefully, if I can come in and design something that also gives them like an economic incentive to do so, I think that might really help.
Fantastic. I love that. I mean, again, I'm not just trying to peddle every single episode we've ever done here, but if you haven't listened to the episode with the Sedev sisters, I'd love you to have a listen to that, because you've got Gayatri, who does a lot of that now. She kind of bridges the gap between business and law. And you've also got the, I think it's one of the twins, Jyoti, who is an engineer, but is a huge campaigner for both equality, but also the kind of environmental side within her industry. And it's a really interesting chat. It's amazing how much you can achieve as one person, I think. If you've got a strong enough will and you're loud enough in your approach, you know, you really can make a huge amount of change.
In terms of like KHS values as well, I have to say, before I joined, I didn't really take it upon myself to like know much about current events and things like that. And then within a few months of joining, I was like going to, well, it was a breakfast club with the head, and we'd talk about current events. And then once she left, I started up Current Events Society, and I was like really, really into it. And I was just, it's such a change. But I think that was, KHS is just so politically and trying to be culturally aware. And yeah, I don't think I would have maybe gone down this path if I hadn't joined and had my horizons broadened a bit.
Louis, what are your plans?
I'm copying Vedica, essentially. I did a bit of work experience in a barrister's chambers in London. So the legal route is at the back of my mind, but I'm really uncertain at the moment and just sort of want to keep my options open.
And how exciting that is, that you can literally go and do anything now. Mm. It's wonderful. I always end with the same question on this podcast. I'm actually very interested to ask you guys this as current students. Not a qualification or a person, but what characteristic do you think has been... I know we've talked about a few different things, but if you had to pinpoint just one, what characteristic do you think that you've developed throughout your time at school is going to serve you best for these next steps?
Definitely, I think, just maybe being more open-minded, more open to a bunch of opportunities. It's been mentioned before, but because there are so many things that KES and KHS offer, there's no such thing as like, oh, well, those are the drama kids, those are the music kids, those are these kids. Everyone's involved in a little bit of everything. And there's really no such thing as just doing one thing and sticking to it and not thinking outside the box. I think that will... I hope that will take me forward and get me involved in things that I might otherwise have not have thought to get involved in. And more on the KHS side, as Liz mentioned, feminism is, again, a term that I was a bit like, oh, what does that mean? Is it man-hating? Or that's like the typical kind of a bit, everyone's a bit iffy about it. But wow, being at KHS, I'm so proud to be a woman and learn about it and be so aware of the different challenges, but also the opportunities that being a woman in this kind of society brings. And I've never been so like aware of it and excited to sort of go out and be strong and proud of my sort of my gender and my culture and that kind of thing.
And who thinks they can follow that? What a fantastic answer. Go on, Jimmy.
Oh, no, I can't follow it. I think, that's definitely something that the kind of open-mindedness is definitely something that's important for me. So I think probably if I had to pinpoint it, maybe kind of being active, but in a multitude of senses, kind of active in the sense of seeking out all these different events, being aware of everything that's going on, but active in after kind of you've kind of understood what's happening, that there are these issues, but then being active in trying to do what you can to like solve these problems and try and improve in society. So just being active, I think, is what I'm pinpointing it down to at this moment. Yeah.
For real. Alicia?
I think for me, it would be persistence. Like, there'll be times when in the morning you'll have like a falling out with your friends, then you might fail a test period too, but then you'll still have to go up and do an assembly at lunchtime or a presentation. And I think sometimes KHS can seem difficult because teachers are always telling you how to improve. You can always do better and you're sort of aware of that. But I think what school's taught me is that you can always do better, you can always take corrections, but you can't sort of dwell on them. You've got to sort of see it, take it, like apply it, and then do better next time, but don't let it put a damper on like your achievements. So I think that's what I'll be able to do in the future. I'll be able to like overcome challenges, maybe fail at some stuff, but then come back and continue and still have the confidence to put my opinions across, even if I said something in debating like 5 minutes ago that was just really incorrect, but then get the confidence and then correct myself and then go on to say better points.
Fantastic. Thank you. And finally, Louis.
I think sort of just following from on from what Liz said there, I think this sort of confidence, not an arrogance, but almost like a confidence that you've dealt with adversity at your time at school, you've worked really hard, you've seen what you're capable of, and the school's empowered you in such a way that you've been able to see what you can achieve when you put your mind to it. And I think for the future, that's really valuable. Like, I've got through cares. I sort of know that the sky's the limit now, and that in the future, as long as I put the work in, as long as I sort of take the right advice, follow the right path, I will be sort of rewarded.
Guys, thank you ever so much for your time today. I really, really enjoyed speaking to you all. It's great to hear that you all enjoy it so much being at school. It's great to hear that you got such different plans, but such big dreams for the future as well, and I wish you every success with those. Of course, everybody listening to this right now might be speaking to one of you soon. If you do get the call, make sure you pick it up, because these guys are the guys on the other end of the phone, and as you can hear, they're doing it for a very, very good reason. Jimmy, Alicia, Louis and Vedika, thank you for joining me on Ed Talks.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Ed Talks. I hope that you've enjoyed today's conversation. If you have, it would be great if you could subscribe to this podcast on whatever app you're listening on, so you can keep up to date with future episodes. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then we'd really appreciate it if you could leave your feedback in the review section. If you're listening on a platform where you can't leave your comments, then please do email me with your feedback. My email address is ben@soundrebel.co.uk. If you would like to feature on this podcast as a guest, then please email Adelaide Bailey at the Development Office. Her email address is aab@kes.beham.sch.uk. That's aab@kes.beham.sch.uk. She's also the person to email with any news that you think should be featuring in Old Ed's publications, either in print or online. Finally, if you think a podcast would enhance the communications of your business, organisation or charity, then I'd love to talk to you about producing it. My email address again is ben@soundrebel.co.uk. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you'll join me again.